like I say, is wow. That was great, great music. Thank you, choir and instrumentalists. Always such a blessing. I can almost go home right now after that beautiful, beautiful music. And they did it so well. But before I go, before we all go, I'd like to look into God's Word on this Christmas Eve 2024. And I would like to look at one verse tonight, a verse that I have preached on in the past. It's John 3:16. It goes like this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, the Bible is clear that God's love is immeasurable. And I don't think there's a passage of Scripture or any other place that communicates this reality better than this single verse, John 3:16. This verse is like a diamond. You can hold it up and look at it from several different vantage points. And that's what I've done throughout my career as a pastor and preacher. There's always another angle to look at it. And its beauty just continues to shine. Tonight I'd like to focus on the word gave. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. I want to explore the various ways that God gave his one and only Son for us. And I think we can see God's gracious giving of his Son through four important events in the life of Jesus. The first one is the incarnation of Jesus. Now, when we think about John 3:16, we automatically think of a baby in a manger. God gave his one and only Son. But it's so much more than that. God's Son, Jesus Christ, came to earth as a man. He was fully God and fully man. He was born to Mary and Joseph in a cow stable, because there was no room in the inn. Now, why is the incarnation important or necessary? Well, it's because to entirely save us, God had to identify with us. And God Almighty went to the trouble to identify us by sending his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So God became man, and he came to earth with a real body and soul. Jesus was born and lived for 33 years. And he was tempted like all others, but he never sinned. There's an old saying that we should all withhold judgment of others until we walk in their shoes. And that is exactly what God did for us in sending his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it clear that he was tempted in all ways that we are, yet without sin. He came to fully identify with the pain that sin brings to our lives and to our world. We don't have to look very far to see that we have a very broken world, a hurting world. And even in our own lives, there are things that come our way that cause a great deal of grief and pain. Well, Jesus Christ came, and for those 33 years he was on the earth, he identified fully and completely with the plight of human beings, with you and with me. He walked in our shoes. The incarnation of Jesus demonstrates God's generous nature, that God loves you so much that he would come and identify with you in every way possible. This is why the author of Hebrews says he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. And therefore he is able to the uttermost to save all those who draw near to God through him. And so God's gracious nature, God's giving, we can see in the incarnation. But it doesn't stop there. As you know, later on, the incarnation was only the beginning of God's gracious gift. True true, Christ lived on the earth for 33 years without sin, and thus he identified with us fully and completely. However, his identification with us is insufficient to secure our redemption. You know how that goes. When somebody goes through a tough time, a difficult time, we try our best to identify. We try our best to sit down and get in their shoes. And while we may do a good job of identifying with the person and weeping with the person who is weeping, we really can't change their circumstances. Often we have to wait. And there are other factors that enter in that bring about relief. And so we stop at that point. We want to identify, but that's not going to solve the person's problem. Christ's identification with us was insufficient to secure our redemption from sin. And so God went another step. He not only gave his Son in the incarnation, he gave him to crucifixion. Crucifixion. God Almighty went further. In his infinite wisdom, God the Father planned for his Son, Jesus Christ, to make atonement for the sins of all of his children. You see, from a human vantage point, Christ was crucified by the Jews who hated him and the Romans who just wanted to get rid of him. They didn't want anything to do with him. But from a divine vantage point, we know that a sovereign God was behind all of this human activity. Indeed, it was God who planned this horrible event of the cross. Why? Because it was the only way that atonement could be made for we sinners. You can read all about this in Isaiah 53. It's abundantly clear that God the Father was behind it all. Isaiah 53:4, surely our griefs he himself bore, speaking of Jesus, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Isaiah 53:5-6, he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes or his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. Isaiah 53:10 says, the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. See, it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, to have an accurate theology of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For when we read John 3:16, we see God so loved the world, and he loved us so much that he came to identify with us. But that was not enough to redeem us because of our sin. And so he went a step further. He gave Jesus through the incarnation, and then he gave Jesus up on a cross in order to die a death that would pay the penalty for sin. In summary, we could say it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to be crucified so that atonement would be made for all of God's children. When you think about the baby Jesus this Christmas, don't stop there. That little baby in the manger is God Almighty in flesh. And that little baby in the manger will grow up to face crucifixion. And all of it was a divine plan by God the Father. That's why 2 Corinthians 2:21 says this, or 5:21, excuse me. He, that is the Father, made him, that is the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ was the bullseye for the Father's wrath that was owed to you and to me. And he fully absorbed that wrath to make full and complete atonement for your sins and mine. And that's why the Father gave, not only in the incarnation, but he gave the Son in the crucifixion because he loves you, because he wants to identify with you, and he wants to spend eternity with you. Well, he gave him in the incarnation and the crucifixion. A third thing we might want to consider is the resurrection. The generosity of God didn't end with the incarnation or the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus died as our sin-bearing substitute. But Jesus could not remain dead because of his divine nature. Acts 2:24 says, "And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Death is a certainty. And God gave and gave and gave because he loves you and he loves me. He gave his Son in the incarnation. He gave his Son in the crucifixion. But he also gives by raising Christ from the dead. And that is to put away death. Death is a certainty. And yet there's so many millions of people that walk through life and don't even consider the fact that one day they will die. And the fact that there is a day of accounting. Otherwise, their actions would never have any meaning. There must be. And the Bible confirms that. So it was the Father's plan to give the Son in the incarnation to identify with us in our sins. To give his Son via the crucifixion to make atonement for our sins. And then to raise the Son from the dead through the resurrection to give us the gift of eternal life. You see, Christ, according to Hebrews, has an indestructible life. That's a result of having a fully divine nature, fully human, fully divine. When Christ died on the cross, he could not remain dead because he's God in flesh. And once again, it was the Father's plan and good pleasure to raise him from the dead to guarantee and secure eternal life. Without the resurrection, Jesus' claims to be God's one and only Son would be null and void. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he was referring to eternal life. So that when you and I believe in him by faith, we trust him with our lives, we are united to him. As 2 Peter says, we partake in the divine nature because we're going to live forever, just like him. Acts 3:15 says of Peter preaching, "But you," to his audience, "put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses." This is why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:9, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." It's as simple as that. Well, the Lord God Almighty gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son in the incarnation, in the crucifixion, in the resurrection, and then finally in the ascension. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to many over 40 days. When we come to the first chapter of Acts of the Apostles, we see him giving instructions to his disciples before his ascension back to the Father's right hand. Christ's ascension was necessary so that God could send his Holy Spirit as a gift to his people. To put it another way, God continued to give us his Son by sending the Holy Spirit to mediate the Son's presence. What a great gift. The Holy Spirit could never be poured out until Christ bodily ascended back to the throne of God. And then it wasn't a matter of localized Christ. His Spirit was poured out on all believers so that every one of us would have Christ living inside of our hearts. And we would be united to him. Through the ascension, the Father welcomed the visible Son back to his side so he could send the invisible Holy Spirit as a gift and a blessing to all who place their faith in his Son, Jesus. This blessing is predicated by Christ always praying and interceding for us before the Father in heaven. Do you realize that? What a great gift. Not only did Christ identify with us, not only was he crucified for us, not only was he raised from the grave so that we might have eternal life, but he ascended back to the Father, the Father's plan. Why? So that he could give us a great blessing to pour out the Holy Spirit in the hearts of all believers. A God like this, who gave his one and only Son to us in so many ways, deserves our love and submission. Nobody could put this together. Nobody could make this up. This is the plan of an almighty and sovereign God. And the Bible makes it clear that whenever we stop pushing our lives forward, stop trying to make things work out ourselves, when we stop and we enter his rest, then we begin to realize that we can have peace, that our sins can be wiped away and forgiven, and that we can be whole. That's why Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are a lot of people, even in churches, that are walking around, and I call them a walking civil war. There are many, many things going on inside of the heart, and most of the time, it's a battle. It's a battle. Will I obey my thirsts? Will I obey my lower nature? Or will I submit myself to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Can I look at this God who said, God so loved the world that he gave? Question is, can I receive that free gift of cleansing of sins and eternal life? And my prayer for all of us this Christmas Eve 2024 is that every one of us would give ourselves to the triune God who gave so much to redeem us and to bring us back into peaceful, tranquil fellowship with him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, when we read this verse, it's easy to walk away without meditating on it and contemplating how vast, how wide, and how long, and how deep, and how high your love is for sinners. And I pray, Lord, that that powerful love of the gospel would break down walls, would take away a hard heart, and that, Lord, you would enter in and be born in us today. For those of us who already know you, be born again afresh and anew. And for those who don't, I pray, Lord, as only you can do, that your Holy Spirit would open hearts and open eyes and open ears, and that you would gently invade the life or the lives in need of you. Lord, do all these things and more, and may we look to you as the God who is gracious and the God who has given so much as we exchange gifts tomorrow and celebrate a blessed day. Lord, bless us to that end now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.